Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
We have been hearing an awful lot, haven't we, about how drugs like Ozempic and Wegovy and Mounjaro are being used to treat obesity. But bariatric surgery has long been a tool to help people who are suffering from the disease. And one of those who has gone through it is Rob Gormley, who's a presenter on East Coast Radio in Wicklow, who's here in the studio with me now, and Professor Helen Hennigan, who is consultant bariatric surgeon at St Vincent's Hospital. And you're both very welcome. Thank you for being with us. So, Rob, you had, firstly, a gastric balloon and then later a gastric bypass at Vincent's, didn't you?
Yes, my first surgery was a planned gastric sleeve, which didn't work out because I had too much visceral fat. I was carrying a lot of weight in around the stomach, so the surgery couldn't be performed safely. So the alternative was, after that, to get a gastric balloon, which allowed me to lose enough weight to get
so
the gastric sleeve.
Right.
But I had lost enough weight for them to be able to perform a gastric bypass.
Right. Will you talk to us? You look so well today.
Thank you very much.
Well and healthy. How were you then before this started?
At my heaviest, I was touching the scales at just under 31 stone.
Right.
So life was difficult in so many ways, but the bypass has allowed me to lose half of my body weight. I'm 16 and a half stone now.
God, it's extraordinary,
and
isn't
still
it?
Still losing.
How was that affecting your health then at close to 31 stone?
Well, I was told by my GP for a long time I was a sitting duck, because I'd often go in for checkups and the cholesterol would be fine and blood sugars and all of that, and the heart would be great. I was morbidly obese, super morbidly obese. And when I got that full NCT check and I was told I was okay, I just plodded along with life until in 2022, I developed lymphedema in my legs, which caused cellulitis. So the lymphatic system wasn't working. My legs were filling with fluid.
So swollen then.
Swollen legs. I still have the scarring. It looks like I've got like false tan on both legs now. And that won't go anywhere. So that's a war wound now that I look at. But back in 2022, I felt very ill. I went home and said to my wife, look, I don't feel great. I want to go to bed. She was very concerned. And being a typical bloke, I said, no, I don't need to go to the GP. So they're only going to charge me 50 quid and give me a few tablets. But luckily we have a friend, Andy O'Toole, who's a paramedic, who Lana called, unbeknownst to me, who came to the house, hooked me up to a drip, called an ambulance immediately, and told me that if I'd gone to bed that night, I wouldn't be here.
Right, that was an intervention and a half, wasn't it?
It was sepsis that very nearly killed me. And that was the rocket up the rear end that I needed to get myself together, get my life together. I had three kids at home, 12, 9 and 6. So thank God to the team at Vincent's, they were able to perform that bypass, because it has changed my life so many ways. It's indescribable. And thank you to you and the team, to the guys at Lochinstown Hospital, at the Weight Management Clinic, who got this all over the line. It's incredible how I feel now. I feel fantastic. I can walk longer distances. My wife would often ask me when the kids were growing up, do you want to come for a walk? And I'd be reluctant to, because I know 4 minutes into that walk, my back would start screaming, sit down. And I look at old photos of me and my kids when they were really young. And that's one of my big regrets, is that I wasn't the father I wanted to be to those kids, because I couldn't physically do it.
But you can now.
I can now. I can make up for it now. But when they were younger, a regular dad might be able to put them on their back or swing them around the park and do, these are things I couldn't do. So when I look back at those old photos, there's a regret. The only regret I have about this whole thing is that I didn't do it sooner.
Right.
But now I'm absolutely flying. I'm loving life. I'm a hell of a lot more confident. I used to turn down work as a DJ. Your bread and butter is a wedding. So you might get a phone call, would you mind DJing at a wedding? I would say no, because it would have to wear a suit. My best mate Ryan got married a couple of years back, asked me to be a groomsman at his wedding. I said, absolutely, I'll do that. Went to get fitted for a suit and there was none that would go near me. So I don't get emotional much, but I rang him upset and said, look, I'm going to bow out of this.
You're making me emotional now. It's just really sad. It's so deeply affecting your whole life.
Oh, my whole life, Claire. Even if we go on a holiday, there's so many different things. It's probably a conversation for another day. But when you're super morbidly obese, getting on an airplane is an experience. But first of all, you have to ask for a seatbelt extension. And you kind of do that discreetly. But it's never, in my experience anyway, brought to you discreetly. It's kind of marched down the aisle, big bright orange. Who asked for this kind of thing?
It's embarrassing. It's just embarrassing, isn't it?
The other thing as well is you, and I kind of get it when you're that size, when you're touching the scales at over 30 stone, you get on a plane and you can see it in people's eyes. Please don't sit beside me. Please don't sit beside me. You know, and that has totally changed. Now, I got on a plane recently, flew into Southampton only 3 weeks ago. I sat in the seat, seatbelt, didn't ask for an extension, straight on. There was loads of it left because I pulled it tight. The tray came down, it wasn't a belly block in it. Mm-hmm. All of these little things that have changed. Going to someone's house, for example, over the years, you go over to a friend's house and I would always stand up because I'd look at the furniture and I'd say, I can't sit there.
In case you broke the furniture.
Yeah. And as often happened, people say, sit down, Rob, sit down. Will you sit down, Rob? Will you sit down? I'm like, no, I'm grand, I'll stand, which didn't help, the legs that were filling with fluid. So everything just had a bit of a knock-on effect.
Gosh,
there.
It's extraordinary. Helen, we'll bring you in at this point. I want to talk to you about, because you were part of the team in charge of Rob's care. So will you talk us through the operations that Rob had and the treatment?
Of course, Claire, and it just, you know, it's so nice to hear Rob confidently articulate his story and all the complications of living with obesity, many of which aren't medical complications, you know. So, and he's obviously done really well. So, Rob's case, as he's outlined, was quite complex because of severe obesity, largely carried around his abdomen. So, when Rob first came in for surgery, he had been through a pretty lengthy process in our weight management clinic in St. Columbkills Hospital, which is run by a really, you know, experienced and wonderful team. Multidisciplinary team. So he'd been evaluated really carefully by Dr. Jean O'Connell, our endocrinologist, our psychologist, physio, nursing staff, a pretty lengthy process to ensure that this was the right intervention for him. And, you know, it probably had been offered obesity medication. I think, Rob, if you remember correctly, might have taken it, tried it, didn't respond to.
Tried Ozempic didn't agree with me at all. Mm-hmm. I felt wretched on it. So I gave up the ghost on that. As much as I lost a bit of weight, it's...
But with drugs like that, you're going to lose about 15% of your weight, which in Rob's case probably wouldn't have been enough anyway.
Exactly.
When we get to the point where it has to be bariatric surgery?
These medications are game changing for people living with obesity, but for very severe obesity, so in Rob's case probably a BMI over 60, then, you know, a more effective, durable intervention like bariatric surgery will be more effective than medications. Mm-hmm. So that was where we came to a plan to perform a bariatric operation on Robin. At that BMI, we thought probably the only intervention possible would be a sleeve gastrectomy, which would involve removing 3/4 of the stomach by a keyhole operation.
That's what the sleeve is.
The sleeve is, yeah. And although a gastric bypass can be more effective, we actually planned from the outset that we probably wouldn't have enough room in Rob's tummy to be able to do that. So people with more severe obesity in some instances can't have a gastric bypass. So a sleeve is the default operation. Mm-hmm. But actually when Rob came in for the sleeve, we found that actually we didn't even have enough space to do that. So we unfortunately had to wake him up and tell him that and then make another plan for this gastric balloon, which is a nice intervention to help people lose weight to facilitate a more definitive bariatric operation.
And what is that? Will you explain that to me?
Yeah, there's a number. And again, it's a really nice time to be treating people with obesity with all these interventions in our armamentarium, medications, endoscopic treatments, and then bariatric surgery. So the balloon is a device that's placed in the stomach with a camera at the time of a gastroscopy. And like a party balloon, it's put in deflated alongside a camera. And once it's in the stomach and we can see it's in the stomach, we inflate it. In Rob's case, we put 700 mils of saline into it. And the idea is that these balloons, there's a number of them on the market, and depending on the one you choose, we chose one for Rob that can last in the stomach for 12 months. And that allowed us 12 months to facilitate enough weight loss to be able to do a bariatric operation.
So the size
safely.
Of the balloon then, Helen, is reducing the capacity in the stomach. Is that how it works?
Space filler. You know, so they're on their own then you can see that they're not, the best single intervention for people with very severe obesity because, you know, they're very good for helping people to feel full. The stomach stomach is always full with this 700 mils, which would take up about 2/3 of the space in the stomach. So Rob would have felt really full, sometimes to the point of feeling sick.
Right. Well, before we come on to the next stage, can I just come back to you, Rob, on that? What was it like being woken up in the operation? Firstly, do you remember it?
The first one, I woke up and I thought, oh, great. I had a feel of the stomach. I thought, brilliant, it's done. And then it was Dr. Naomi Fearon sat on the edge of the bed and said, Rob, we couldn't do the surgery. And I was like, what do you mean? I'm full of holes here. she explained it all to me. I mentioned the gastric balloon. I thought, okay. And that was a camera down the throat, which, given all the experiences I had, I think that was the worst one. As much as I got through it, getting the camera down, it wasn't a pleasant experience, but it was a means to an end.
Right. And then how does it feel? Because just the sound of an inflated balloon in your stomach with saline solution, it sounds as though it might be uncomfortable.
No, it wasn't.
You didn't feel it at all?
It wasn't. No, I felt full very quickly. So it worked like a dream. It really did.
But did you have to change what you were eating?
Oh, absolutely. You have to eat sensibly. You can't eat near as much as you put away before. And that's a similar situation now after the bypass. It's amazing to how little I eat now is unbelievable.
Yeah.
And that's why.
What were you eating before? Were you eating high volumes of good food, or were you
high volumes of bad food? Well, I wasn't high volumes. I have an interesting life in that, doing what I do for a living, I'm up very early in the morning.
Yeah. You're on the breakfast radio show, so you're up before 5.
I couldn't manage anything at that stage.
Right.
So eating breakfast wasn't really a thing in my world. So I'd get home at maybe midday, and on the way home, I'd pop into the local Centra and get a chicken fillet roll, a Snickers Duo, a bottle of Coke, and a pack of Hunky Dories. Mm-hmm. And that was probably a daily thing. Wouldn't have lunch. And then I'd have a big dinner, which a plate full of dinner. And then the evening, when the cup of tea is made, I'd easily polish off a packet of biscuits.
Right.
Probably a couple of takeaways at the weekend. But I remember when I was speaking to the dietitian, she had me write down, that was Jess in Lockenstown Hospital, the weight management clinic, write down what I eat on a daily basis. And she did the same. And when I looked at her list and I looked at mine, she actually consumed more food than I did. I was just eating all the wrong things at the wrong time. Whereas Jess would have a healthy breakfast, a mid-morning snack, lunch, mid-afternoon snack, dinner. And I was fascinated by that. So your relationship with food changes completely. I look at food now as fuel. And my diet now is high protein and low carb and a bit of veg. I actually have a bariatric plate, which is fantastic. Someone gave to me a bariatric plate, which is split into three.
So you see how much you're eating.
You can see carbohydrates, vegetables, protein. A protein would be big, veg would be big, and the carbs would be very small.
Well, let's come back now a bit, because at this stage we have the balloon in, right, Helen? Mm-hmm. So what happens next?
So I suppose the disadvantage of a balloon is it's a temporary procedure. Mm-hmm. So the balloons are intended to be left in again for up to 12 months. So we always knew, you know, the clock was ticking for Rob to actually enable this device, is to enable him to lose enough weight, but to bring him to a definitive bariatric operation, which thankfully it did. So about 10 or 11 months in, when Rob's weight loss had plateaued and he'd lost as much as he was going to lose from a balloon, which is about 10 to 15%, and Rob probably got 13% from the balloon, about 30 kilos, if I remember right. That allowed us to then take the balloon out and go on and do the gastric bypass. So again, we had, I suppose, myself, and again, this was a big team of people involved. My two surgical colleagues, Naomi Fearon and Waka Sputt, were all involved in the different steps of this operation. Mm-hmm. And on the day we brought Rob back in, the balloon comes out, and a month later, you go on and do the bariatric operation.
There's a gap of four weeks.
If you did them both on the same day, took out the balloon and did the bariatric operation, the stomach is thickened, so it might be more risky. So we left 4 weeks, and that was over Christmas time for Rob. So he had to work really hard to not regain weight. That might disadvantage us on the day of the bariatric operation, but he didn't. He was really motivated to get to this point of allowing
him
to have.
Difficult, Rob. The balloon is gone. Did you feel like going back to what you'd been previously consuming, or?
No. The one thing I'll say about myself, to blow my own trumpet for a minute, is that when I put my mind to something, I do it.
Yeah.
And I knew after what had happened to me in 2022 that
you weren't going back.
Here, I've got 3 children and a wife who loves me dearly, and I need to be around for them. Mm-hmm. And that was that. I didn't. I just looked at food and I thought, right, you can't have that, you can't have that. Mm-hmm. Let's be sensible here. Get it over the line, get it done, and lose this weight.
Right, so then you get to the 4 week point and we're into gastric bypass. So just as you did with the balloon, Helen, will you describe to us how that works?
Yes, absolutely. So again, Rob came back to the theatre under general anaesthetic. We put our ports back in. It was a keyhole operation, and we found that actually we had enough room now to be able to do gastric bypass with the weight, all the weight Rob had recently lost. We had much more room, much more flexibility inside, and that allowed us to do a bypass, which is a slightly more powerful operation than the sleeve. So the bypass involves, interestingly, not removing any of the stomach or bowel, but just moving it around. So we were able to make the stomach smaller. So Rob's current stomach, we call it his little stomach pouch, is probably about a sixth or a seventh of the size of a full stomach, but his old stomach is sitting right beside it. It's nearby, but it's not receiving food. It's still healthy, makes some gastric enzymes, juices, creates some hormones. The bile comes in lower down and they're mixed with food further down Rob's gut. So food goes down one channel, juices and enzymes, bile go down another, and they mix about a metre downstream from where food enters. Mm-hmm. And that the rest that the stomach and the first 50 centimetres of his small intestine get is part of the mechanism by which a gastric bypass works as well as it does. So although Rob didn't have type 2 diabetes coming in, these operations are really powerful, not just for weight loss. There are many weight independent benefits, not just the Rob alluded to the quality of life benefits that occur through weight loss, but even in the early hours after gastric bypass surgery, diabetes can go into remission. There are a lot of anti-inflammatory benefits to bariatric surgery, specifically a gastric bypass. So they're, you know, really great operations for people who live with severe obesity and all its complications.
Mm-hmm. And did the bypass then, the aftermath of that, Rob, feel different to how the balloon felt? Or was
yes.
it the same?
Yeah, but the bypass, the one thing I have noticed is if my stomach ever gurgles, it seems to do it from a different place. And that was kind of alien to me. It does feel very different. The food at the moment, I need to just listen to my body, because as I mentioned, it's high protein and low carb. And ideally, I'd be having chicken breasts and red meats. I'm not there yet. So thankfully, there's abundance of protein options in the shops now. There's, mm-hmm. there's protein yogurts, there's protein pancakes, protein crisps, there's protein this, that or the other. So that's what I'm doing.
Do you find it hard to face chicken and meat?
I find it hard to get it down. I could feel at the moment. I'm sure I'll get there eventually, but I was told when I mentioned this to the team at Lochinstown, just listen to your body for the moment, get your protein in whatever way you can, and get to that eventually. Mm-hmm. So I'll try, but I revert back sometimes to the softer stuff, because what I'm doing at the moment is I'm chewing food to within an inch of its life to get it down easier. And
so it's taken you ages to eat a really small
amount of food. My whole outlook on food has changed. Again, as I say, look at it as fuel. It has changed in so many ways, in that I have a side plate now as opposed to a regular dinner plate. Eating out is kind of difficult because there's not a lot to have, albeit very small portions. And the other aspect of it is that all I have to do now is have a calcium tablet, an iron tablet, and I take a multivitamin in the morning and the evening, 2 litres of water a day.
And that's
just
it.
Sensible eating. Mm-hmm. And that's
and the problems that you had with the legs, gone? Or?
They're down to a normal level, which is great. There's no fluid retention there anymore. The other aspect of my life that has changed is that I had obstructive sleep apnea. I'm now asymptomatic. So I no longer have to have that CPAP machine.
Incredible, isn't it?
You know, sleeping, my wife said, just like sleeping beside Darth Vader. You know, I'm sure it's not a sexy look either, but that's gone now as well.
Yeah, I said earlier on, you say it's changed your life. I mean, it's incredible.
They have saved my life, mm-hmm. the team there. And the other aspect of the surgery I'd like to mention is that there seems to be a bit of negativity about it, and that some people look at it as the easy way out. It's far from easy. There's so many elements to it, and a lot of celebrities, maybe when they post up their photos, people wonder how they did it. But what I'd say to that is, look, people improve their life in many ways. They might go to get their teeth done, their hair, breast implants, bum implants, Botox. This surgery saved my life, mm-hmm. and it's saving other people's lives.
Well, we don't say that about cancer treatment, do we?
No,
we don't criticise people for having treatment for other diseases, and this is a disease.
And obesity is a disease, yeah. Mm. It is a disease, and it needs to be recognised as such.
So what other worlds then have been opened up to you? I mean, exercise, you were talking about going for a walk earlier, you couldn't do it before, now you can.
I can. I'm going to be joining a gym soon. Again, there's a nervousness about joining a gym there, but I do need, because you lose fat and you also lose muscle as well. So I need, that's why the protein is so important, and getting into a gym is going to be really important as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping to do that soon. I'm more open to to getting extra work. I was a judge at a charity event recently, Strictly Come Dancing, which involved getting dressed up. And I thought, you know what, I'll do that. It's the first time in a long time I've said yes to something that involved me getting out in the public eye.
It's great. And, you know, listeners are getting in touch this morning saying what a joy it is to hear how it has changed your life, not just from a health perspective, but all of those things which are so important. The problem, Helen, is we don't have enough capacity to do as much of this surgery as we should be doing in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's probably the biggest constraint at the moment to delivering more obesity treatment to more people like Rob, who are living with all the challenges he mentioned of severe obesity. So at the moment, we're, you know, still remain grossly underfunded and under-resourced to deliver the volume of these surgeries that we need to do. So, I mean, we have estimated that we need to be doing about 1,200 of these cases a year across the public sector. At the moment, we're probably doing between ourselves and the other bariatric surgery unit in Galway, probably around 200 or just under that.
Wildly short.
And yeah, and I mean, we're, you know, constrained by access to beds. But there's a brilliant team in St. Vincent's, just down the road in St. Vincent's University Hospital, who, you know, try and facilitate these cases. But we compete all the time with unscheduled care, with cancer care. So, you know, often the bariatric cases are the first to be cancelled during the whole winter crisis, which, you know, is still ongoing. The challenges around getting beds for Rob and patients on our waiting list. The waiting list is the other challenge. So there's about over 5,000 patients waiting to get into our service in Loughlin. Town. And, you know, it's a brilliant service, but getting in is the biggest challenge.
Biggest hurdle.
Once in, we can deliver all of this treatment. And it is very cost effective to achieve what Rob has achieved, you know, cost effective.
Life saving and life changing, let's put it like that. Fascinating to talk to you both. Thank you very much for coming in. And as I say, people are getting in touch, paying tribute to your resilience and everything, and the way you tell it as well, Rob, let's be fair. Rob Gormley, thank you for being with us, and Professor Helen Hennigan. We will take a break, back after this.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.